Welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. It's Monday morning. My name is Jeff Humfeld. On today's edition, Jessica Thomas talks with Jeff Mazansky, whose life without parole sentence for marijuana possession was recently commuted by Governor Jay Nixon. And then the parole board released him after over 20 years behind bars. They are joined by Amber Iris Langston of Show Me Cannabis to talk about the ongoing efforts to legalize cannabis for medical and recreational use in Missouri. Stay tuned for the calendar of events in the middle of the show and the 420 drug war news at the end of the show. Jessica and her guests are up next.
Good morning. And welcome to Kansas City Jaws of Justice here on KKFI. And I'm welcoming into the studio this morning, I'm Jessica Thomas, by the way, Jeff Mazansky, Amber Iris Langston. And we're here. Good morning.
Good morning.
And it's wonderful to have the show with you here with us, Jeff.
It's great to be here.
Because we've actually had a couple of different shows where we had talked with your family. And with Amber and then other organizations, and we were rallying around, attempting to get you out. And it's awesome to see you here on the other side of the table.
I tell you what, it feels awful good to be here.
Right? Well, can you tell us a little bit about coming out and the support that has been rallying? I mean, this was years in the going. Your family coming out, reaching out to people. And did you know about what was going on out here?
Well, you know, I know a little bit about it. I stayed in contact with my son quite a bit, my brother. But I had no idea it was getting as big as it got, which is great. The people got behind it. And that's one thing we need is the people stick together.
It seems like as a family, we could get a lot more things done.
Yes.
As opposed to being alone. And this has brought on a lot of attention to, I mean, there's still a lot of people there doing having similar sentences.
Unfortunately, there is. I've got a statistic from 2013 that says there's across the United States, there's still 3,278 people locked up with life without for a lot of marijuana cases. That doesn't count the 20- and 30-year sentences or the 10- and 5-year sentences, so. There's a bunch.
Everything okay? Okay, there we go. I think it's trying to get you a little closer. All right. Yeah, there is more than a bunch. There's things that we can do to bring awareness to this and Show Me Cannabis, which actually I believe there's a new organization in town that's kind of bringing forward. Or I'm
yeah,
kind of confused.
Yeah, so sure. I'll bet you're not the only person who's confused. And that's normal. Politics are confusing.
Oh, wait. Is it normal or normal?
Both. So there is a sort of new player that you're alluding to called New Approach Missouri, which is spearheading the medical cannabis ballot initiative for November 2016, which Show Me Cannabis is supporting. And it's not as confusing as it really seems to be. The reason that there is a new organization is because of campaign finance laws, and that is you specifically have to have a campaign committee who's doing the work for this, that's reporting all of the expenditures and where the money's coming from. And Show Me Cannabis is a 501c4, so it's a different kind of business organization. And we have a broader goal with Show Me Cannabis than New Approach Missouri does. So, you know, with Show Me Cannabis, we're talking about all of the cannabis laws in Missouri. You know, we don't make any bones about it. We were formed with the idea of bringing full legalization to Missouri, industrial hemp, medical cannabis. But polling came back and showed that we were really a little bit iffy on full legalization. And so we are working towards putting a medical initiative on the ballot, and a new group has formed, which is good because it's bigger than just Show Me Cannabis. We're going to be, you know, part of that coalition, but it's going to be bigger than us. And their express goal is to get this initiative on the ballot and passed in November 2016. So
has anybody ever given any thought to maybe forming a group that, well, I mean, I know there's like the ACLU does, you know, goes out and looks for cases that are rather unjust. Show Me Cannabis was just kind of reached, had been contacted to help, Jeff.
Yeah, the first time that I heard about Jeff, I was doing a volunteer training in Sedalia, and I met Chris, Jeff's son, and, you know, I always went around the room and would ask everybody, so what brings you here? Because there are so many million reasons that people get involved in this fight. And Chris stood up and said, I don't know how I'm going to get my dad back. This is the only thing I know to do to try and get my dad back. And, you know, from there, he told the story. And so, you know, we, of course, didn't get on the ballot in 2012. But that, you know, didn't help Jeff. And he was still facing the same situation. And Chris continued to be involved. And the story got some attention from some other folks. We got a clemency petition that was filed with the governor's office, and it just sort of snowballed. We just kept talking about it, and everybody got behind it and pushed it. And like you said, it's amazing what we can do together. And it was really, we all are so happy for Jeff to be able to return him to his life.
It's marvelous that they didn't put a gag on you. I know in some circumstances with an activist or somebody that's closely related to a cause, they will give you a gag order saying, you know, part of your conditions of your parole are that you don't talk about this crime or the situation that landed you in jail in the first place. They've been really flexible with you, allowing you to get out and talk about, your experience and work as an activist.
Yeah, you're right. I'm kind of amazed myself, but one of the things I advocate is not for people to go out and smoke now, but to get involved and make it legal so they can smoke, so the same thing don't happen to them that happened to me. And I think that's a big part of why they're letting me do it, because I'm not advocating breaking any laws. I'm actually advocating getting involved with the government and getting things changed.
Right.
So
what do you think? Things changed?
Things have changed a lot since I come out.
Right.
I was like 3 months short of 22 years in prison. When I came out, it was like total shock.
Right.
I mean, everything was like three times the amount money-wise if you want to buy anything. And these phones, I'll tell you what, they're that's another world in itself. I think it's a necessary evil.
Right. It really is.
I agree with that.
Well, I mean, because if you don't have one, you're just not in touch.
Right.
But then on that, do you think to yourself how much people spend time looking at their phones? Does that trip you out?
Hey, I see people walking up and down the street, and they got their eyes on their phones. I don't even know if they know where they're going half the time, you know. So.
They walk into the wall?
Yeah, and then I had a niece that was actually texting her boyfriend, and he was in the other room. I mean, come on.
Get up and walk over there.
Right. The art of conversation, is it going to be lost? I hope not.
No, I you know, that and writing, reading and writing, you know, but a lot of people putting into the reading books. So it's quite a culture shock, you know, when you're coming in. And then knowing, of course, just to wait till after the tone to leave a message.
Yeah, that took a little while. I'm sure a lot of people got half messages from me.
Yeah, right. How about it comes in halfway in?
How about the pocket dialing? Oh, my God.
All right, right. Or listening to the pocket dial. That's even better, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said something the other day about phones charging quicker on airplane mode. You should have seen Jeff's face. Airplane mode.
It's all French to me.
But, you know, and in all seriousness, you know, we get back to where you're in advocacy now. And yes. Where are you going to go forward from here? What do you want to do?
Well, you know, we've won some battles, but we've not won the war. Even here in Missouri, we need to win the war. And it really is a war against the people. The government's locking us up like it's nothing, and they're holding us. Mm-hmm. I'm a prime example. There's plenty more. But that's something shouldn't be for a plant that grows that helps so many. It don't hurt nobody.
Do you know of any cases in particular? You know, we're talking about these three, you know, there's 3,000 other people that are still in. Do you know of any cases in particular that, you know, there's something that we could do something about? We got you out and we can start pulling on other people.
Oh, boy. There's a ton. There's so many that I can hardly even think of.
We don't have
which
anything
ones.
Specific here.
Right. I'm more familiar with cases that are you know, like Dolores and Jean Halbin down in Bates County. I know they're still fighting their charges for felony growing for his medicine, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a case here locally I want to draw more attention to, because they really do need some help. And it's pretty ridiculous the way that they've been treated and browbeaten, really, by the local law enforcement. Gene has diabetes and glaucoma, and he was walking 2 miles a day when they got busted for growing his medicine in the basement. And he went to the prison without – they took his medications away, all of his medications, and it completely – you know, it just – now he can walk about 10 feet assisted, and that's how it's been since having to deal with law enforcement. So it's really – you know, Jeff's case was a little bit different. He wasn't using it medically. And a lot of people are less willing to come out when it's not a medical use. But, you know, nobody needs to be treated like this. This is for a plant, for something that helps so many people, that doesn't harm anyone. It's just, I can't say that too many times.
Of course, educating jurors about the fact that you do have the opportunity to vote your conscience. In this, when you are a juror, as an informed jury, you do have the opportunity.
Yeah, jury nullification mm-hmm. is really something that people should know about. And I think they used to tell jurors about it, and then they stopped doing that because jurors were voting their conscience instead of the law, which basically a jury can decide, yes, we realize that this person is guilty of something, but we think that this law is inherently wrong and shouldn't be. They shouldn't be punished for having done it, and they can choose to not convict a person of a crime. And, you know, actually Richard Lee at Oaksterdam University, pretty smart guy, he got busted out there eventually. You know, he was the guy behind Prop 19 in 2010, really did a lot of things for that community. He had posters all over his walls that said ask about jury nullification. So whenever they took pictures of evidence, there were posters that the jurors were going to have to see them. Well, what's jury nullification? So for anybody out there who, you know, may be aware of a clandestine medical operation, that's a tip to you. You might want to put ask about jury nullification on the walls.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, that's great.
That and you got to figure as well, as a person that's going to get called for jury duty, if you get your time up, and not looking for ways out of it, and really being, you know, just like, you got to figure if there's somebody that's not smart enough to get out of jury duty, you're going to end up with the lowest common denominator that is judging you, and, you know, doing your part by staying there and, you know, sitting down. You may not get a cannabis case, but it's like, if you do, I mean, you don't want to try to get out of it, because, you know, the only jurors that are available to you, if you have to go in front of a jury, are the ones that aren't smart enough to get out of it. It's not going to be a good result in your behalf.
Right.
So educating people about what they've got to, as far as going forward, and I mean educating people about jurors' rights, one being that you can nullify by saying, you know, it's that, and you don't have to explain why you disagree as well. It could be, you know, for religious reasons, or if you think that the law is unjust, anything like that can nullify it. So these are ways that we can get involved. And Jeff, so what kind of things are you involved in now, Jeff? Are you out speaking? I know that I'd heard you were going to go to Vegas, I think it is, or Washington. Are you going to Washington?
I'm pretty sure we're going to go to Washington, but I think we're going to St. Louis first, and then Vegas, and then Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have to go out to California. We're getting involved with a group out there for reform of our justice system.
Awesome.
And wherever I can go to speak, you know, as long as I can afford to be there, I'm going to be there, because this is something that needs to be changed. There's too many people getting hurt, getting locked up. But a lot of people out there don't realize this. It's not just the people getting locked up. It's their families that get hurt. And you know, like my family, they went from a middle-class family, and when I got locked up, they went to poor, because I was the breadwinner, you know.
Right.
So basically everything I had through the years got sold off just so they could survive. So basically I came out with nothing, which is all right. I got my family, so that's everything to me.
Absolutely. And going forward, what do you want to do? Something new?
I want to get this legal. That's my prime goal, is to get cannabis legal, not just here in Missouri, but across the nation, because nobody deserves to be locked up. And I know that firsthand.
Absolutely.
So,
as a secondary benefit, I am hopeful that there will be some great irony of an occurrence with Jeff's life that maybe he can make some money off of the legal cannabis industry somewhere. The Las Vegas event that you were referring to is the Marijuana Business Conference and Expo, and in a couple of weeks, and or no, next week. And they actually asked Jeff to speak, to be the guest speaker at an industry fundraiser event that they're having, with kind of the idea that, you know, all of these business people elsewhere who have are not traditional to this movement are starting to look at the money that can be made from this, and they need to be reminded where this is all coming from, and who has been hurt by this, and who has been affected by this. And, you know, I'm hopeful that Jeff's story will inspire some of those people to really give back to the criminal justice reform efforts.
There's a large release set to happen. I've 6,000 offenders is what I understood, and then like another 25,000 to come after that.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've heard as well.
Right,
but level.
It's about time.
It was supposed to be a major release, but I really haven't heard anything about like where it's happening at, or you know what states are going to. But as this goes, I know we're going to do a show on it in the next couple of months. But we don't let our listeners know that they are tuned to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And with me in the studio is Jeff Mizanski and Amber Langston. And we're talking about, Jeff, we're talking to Jeff because we can, for one.
There you go. That's great.
And we are also going to open our phone lines. If there was anyone that had a phone call, a question for Jeff or for Amber about upcoming actions that are happening or events that are happening. I know that Show Me Cannabis is, or the New Approach Missouri has some benefits and things coming up. There are a lot of activities coming up that people can get involved in, opportunities for people to get involved in, maybe. If someone wanted to call, you can do that by calling 816-931-5534, and we will be happy to answer your calls. But for right now, Amber, what's coming up in Kansas City? For I know there are events where people can come in and you know, get involved and find volunteer opportunities, chances to.
Yeah, we keep an eye out because we'll have some more things released soon. This Thursday, there is not Show Me Cannabis, but Women Grow, which is an organization for women in the cannabis industry. We have a sort of rotating chapter in Missouri, and Kansas City will be hosting the event on Thursday at the Bluebird Bistro on 17th and Summit, and you can go online to find more information about that. But that'll be about around 6 o'clock, and we'll have a woman, Julie Prom from Chicago, who has done patient advocacy for a long time, worked a lot with veterans specifically, and she's also working part-time in New York with one of the 5 dispensary licenses up there as their patient relations person. And she's a really neat lady. I've known her for a while, so Julie will be speaking on Thursday. As far as New Approach Missouri goes, we are going to be having a Kansas City area launch party juxtaposed to what we had in St. Louis. And I had to tweak the date on that. We don't have the new date finalized, but suffice to say it will be within the next month. So I'm thinking probably around the first week of December. So, you know, again, if you get the Show Me Cannabis emails, showmecannabis.com, you can sign up there and we'll keep you informed of all the cannabis-related activities in the Kansas City area.
Mm-hmm. So, and this is a really good opportunity for, well, it's not just women. There are groups that aren't exclusive to women.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Well, and you know, like I said, you know, Show Me Cannabis, there's Women Grow, there's the New Approach Missouri. There are many different ways to sort of come at this issue, and a New Approach will be much more medical focused than, you know, well, completely medical focused. We'll leave it at that. You know, but our big thing is to, you know, we're going to have to start getting signatures. So, we have submitted our language to the Secretary of State's office, and in about a month, we expect to hear back with the ballot language so we can start getting those signatures. So we'll also have some volunteer training events coming up in advance of that being ready to gather signatures for. So we'll start having those regularly, and I suspect weekly turn-ins. So once we start getting signatures, there's going to be something happening every single week.
I'm going to give that number again really quick, 816-931-5534. If you'd like to call in and ask any questions of Jeff or of Amber about what's going on in our community. So about this petition, can people sign? And I think there's more than one. There'll be more than one group asking for signatures. Can you sign them all? And how do you know if you signed? How many are there out there to sign, and how do you can you sign more than one? And
so,
is it going to make confusion? Or
it is definitely going to have. There's going to be some confusion, but you know, just ask questions. There are currently three different efforts going on. There is the New Approach Missouri effort, which I mentioned that Show Me Cannabis is supporting. And then there is, but we haven't started getting signatures yet. And then there's another group, the Missouri Cannabis Restoration and Protection Act, and they are working towards full legalization. They are getting some signatures for that. It's definitely ask questions. It's not, there's some, people have some issues with it. There's not an age limit, you know, and I think the intention there is for kids to be able to get medicine, but you know, that. Anyway, just be aware, but you know, you can sign it. You don't have to vote yes on it if you want to sign it to get it on the ballot for it to be voted on.
Right.
So that one's out there, and they're collecting signatures for it. And then there's a third effort, which they have not started getting signatures for it yet, but a similar timeline to ours. There's a fellow in Springfield named Brad Bradshaw, Dr. Brad Bradshaw. You might have seen some of his commercials. He is a doctor and lawyer, and he does some malpractice lawsuits, and he is running for lieutenant governor in Missouri and has also decided to spearhead an effort to bring medical cannabis to Missouri. And again, we have some issues with that. You can still sign it to get it on the ballot. There will be confusion about that, but I don't like this one particularly because it mostly puts a tax of 75% on medicine, which is, we have a small tax of 4%, on the one we're supporting. But, you know, just look at it all carefully. And if you sign the same one twice, both of those signatures will become invalid. So you want to make sure you're signing the right one that you want to sign and not signing it twice. So it's very complicated and hard, but we'll have until May to get all those signatures. So we just plan to see people around and make sure you know what it is you're doing.
Yeah, make sure you know which one you sign so that you don't sign it twice.
Yes.
So that you don't make it invalid. That,
right.
Well, you know, we're just about 25 minutes after the hour of 9 a.m. here on KKFI. I know we're going to have a Jaws of Justice calendar coming up here. And we're going to come back into our interview.
Now, the calendar for October 26th, 2015. The Criminal Justice Task Force will meet Monday, November 2nd, from 6:45 to 8:45 p.m. at the Church of the Good Shepherd, 4947 Choteau Drive, KCMO. The Criminal Justice Task Force mission is to lobby the Missouri State Legislature for sentencing laws that are fair and humane, as well as basic human rights, including protection against cruel and unusual punishment. For information, contact Robin Johnson at 816-522-4081 or by email at redrob, that's R-E-D-R-O-B, 2615 55@yahoo.com. Missouri Cure will have their monthly meeting Monday, November 2nd, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Bluford Library, 31st and Prospect, KCMO. They will have a recap of the annual conference held in St. Louis and address future projects. Kansas City Chapter of Missourians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty will hold their execution watch for Ernest Lee Johnson at 39th and Troost at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on Tuesday, November 3rd, and their monthly meeting from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church, 4501 Walnut, KCMO. The Kansas City Chapter of Empower Missouri's First Friday Forum will be Friday, November 6th, 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Westport Flea Market, 817 Westport Road, KCMO. Their guest speaker is Dave Dormeyer, the Director of Adult Institutions for the Missouri Department of Corrections. This is your opportunity to get your questions answered. The KC Area Chapter of Parents of Murdered Children and Other Survivors of Homicide will hold their monthly meeting Friday, November 6th, 7:30 p.m. at Our Lady of Sorrows Church, 2552 Gillum Road, KCMO. POMC makes the difference through ongoing emotional support, education, prevention, advocacy, and awareness for all survivors of homicide victims. Artists Helping the Homeless will be giving away shoes, winter caps, coats, gloves, blankets, and all winter-related necessities for the homeless. This is going to take place at the All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church, 4501 Walnut, KCMO, instead of their normal meal service at Mill Creek Park. Donations of supplies and new or gently used items are welcome. To donate, contact Artists Helping the Homeless by email, kato@artisthelpingthehomeless.org, or by phone, 816-668-1007. My name is Jeff Humfeld, reminding you that these events and more can be found on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page, as well as the Jaws of Justice Radio page on the KKFI website, kkfi.org. And you are listening to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. We ask you to tune in next week to Jaws of Justice Radio when Beth Pike hosts a discussion on elder abuse with Michelle Brown of the Midwest Regional Council. And Craig LeBeau returns with former Governor Ryan of Illinois to talk about why he commuted all the death sentences in his state to life without parole. But up next is Jessica, Jeff, and Amber, and of course, your phone calls.
And thanks for staying with us and joining us here on the Jaws of Justice at KKFI 90.1 FM. With me in the studio, Jeff Nizanski and Amber Langston. And we're talking about what's going on with Jeff. Jeff just got out, and we are so happy to have him over here. We had done several shows in the last couple of years, actually, in attempting to extract Jeff from this very difficult situation. Which we were all really like,
I think, you know, it's really telling how far the issue has come that we were able to get so far with it, because the governor doesn't like to do things. I don't know if you guys have noticed that or not. Nothing, I'm not saying anything offensive to you, Governor Nixon, but I am saying it is hard to get him to take action. And the fact that we got him to commute Jeff's sentence, even though he only commuted it to possibility with parole, is still a historic precedent for his sort of action. I don't think he's done that for anybody else. And it did take a lot of people. It took a lot of local pressure, state pressure, national pressure, international pressure. I know that the 400,000 signatures from change.org had to have helped getting press from, getting emails from people around the world saying, hey, we think that you're unjustly, keeping somebody behind bars who needs to be out with his family. Eventually, it starts to make a difference in what people hear. And it's just amazing that we've been able to come this far.
We do want to let people know that we were taking calls at 816-931-5534. If you'd like to call and have any questions for anyone in the studio, Amber can answer anything you might ask about the petitions that are coming up and what's happening here in Kansas City. And Jeff would love to say hey to anyone who might have a question, so please feel free to call us. So, Jeff, we had done many shows about post-traumatic stress and after coming out. And the fact that, well, really until recently in the Jaws of Justice, nobody really had discussed, coming out, what the kind of stress that you have coming out. And your family, of course, is not really prepared for, issue. Nobody really hands out a handbook and says, here's what to expect from your loved one. Because you haven't been away on some holiday vacation having an absolute wonderful time. The institution kind of brings things into your mind that, it's not easy to just kick once you come out, and people don't know what to expect. So what would you say, Jeff, to people coming out, as far as maybe what to expect? Oh, we do have, hang on, so we do have a caller. Hey, caller, hi, what's your name and what part of town are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Erica Irwin, and I'm calling to welcome Jeff back.
All right, thank Erica. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good to have you back.
It's good to be here. It's, but, it's because of people like you that care and do something about it, and that's what done it. Otherwise, I'd still be in there looking out.
Yeah. I go back to it. We all did it, and you helped with that, really. When we found out Jeff was going to be released, I had people just sending me messages from out of nowhere, people I haven't heard from in forever, and just so excited. And I just did a little dance at work, and everybody looked at me funny, and, so.
It was quite shocking, I'm telling you. You walk out and see all nothing but cameras and phones. Of course, I didn't know there were phones at the time. But and then people everywhere. It was quite an experience. So I'm pretty fortunate, though, because I've had you, all the people out there, all these organizations behind me helping me. And most of the guys don't get that. So
I know that I've personally been following you all the way, and definitely signing every petition that comes across my way on constant 42420, show me cannabis is wine, and phone call away, as much as I could definitely get behind you. So relieved to see you out. It brought tears to my eyes, and just really glad to finally see that.
Well, thank you. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Thanks for everybody else's work and getting it done, and I'm just really glad to see as a collective to see this happen.
Cool, thanks.
Thank you again.
Thank you, guys.
Hi. Oh, caller, we have another call on. Caller, you are on the air. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Lydia. I'm calling from Kansas City. I just wanted to congratulate Mr. Jeff on being able to come home and welcome him back to freedom. I'm sure it's quite refreshing.
Why, thank you.
Being back.
Cool, thank you. We appreciate you calling in, man.
It's great to be here and being able to talk to people like you. It's a whole other world for me.
Jeff, go ahead.
It was quite an effort to get you out, I'm sure.
It was a group effort, for sure.
You know what's crazy? It takes one man to lock you up, And it takes an army to get you out.
Exactly. It's so backwards, but hopefully everything will change pretty soon.
Well, we can get the people out and register to vote, sign these petitions, and actually vote. We'll get it changed. Nobody else will have to go through what I did.
Someday our grandchildren are all going to look back and think we were total barbarians for treating people this way. You used to put people in prison for that? What? Why would you do that? We're so much smarter than our grandparents. That's what they'll say.
Well, thanks for calling, Lydia. I appreciate your call.
Bye.
Bye. Jeff, I was going to ask, what's your favorite thing that you've done since you've been back, or one of your favorite things?
Actually, being with my family, getting a hold of my grandkids and great-grandchild.
Yeah.
I've got some of them that I didn't get to watch grow up, you know, and nobody should have to go through that. My granddaughter actually got married a week before I got out, and she just came back. She happened to be living in Vegas right now. She just came back about a week ago, so that's really the first time I've got to be with her. So it's quite an experience. People don't realize how much the guy that's locked up loses. And not only the person that's locked up, but how about the family, how much they lose. I mean, my sons grew up without a father. My grandkids grew up without a grandfather. And it's quite a shock when you get out, too, because you look around and people that you've known for years, they walk up to, "Do you remember me?" And you got to try to put that face together. You know, everybody grows a little older, and they change. Yeah. Trying to remember what they look like just doesn't work very well because they just changed. So it's like meeting a whole new world again.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The war on drugs is a war on families.
Amen.
It definitely is, but we're going into some period of time where everyone is looking at the justice system and sentencing reform, and it's being drawn on as a platform for people to run their campaigns totally off now, the cannabis and the campaign, in the sentencing reform.
Yeah, it is the one bipartisan issue that seems to really be moving forward right now is people are recognizing we're wasting resources and we're hurting people.
Need to let our listeners know, you could call us at 816-931-5534. You can call us here and ask Amber any question you might have about the initiative that's coming up, or the petition initiative that's happening. Or you could say hi to Jeff and help us out here with some things coming up this weekend. So we had talked about the women's cannabis movement that's coming up, and getting people involved and knowing about the medicine. You know, it's not just this recreation thing and a bunch of stoners going to be out flying their freak bikes. There's an actual reason why people are trying to do this.
Yeah, you know, I think that having women involved in this movement is very, very important. And to me, it is helping to change the narrative of, our policy around the plant, and we've come from this in the past, from this just very punitive, punishing, you did something bad, and so we're going to, do something bad to you for it, approach to cannabis, because and to drugs generally. And it's, to me, it's like, addiction is an illness. And most people who are using cannabis aren't even addicted. First of all, we'll go start with that. But, it's still put in this category of drug use where, when you're sick, you don't do better when you go to bed without eating dinner. And, we need to find a way to nurture and to heal the problems that are driving people to abuse substances. And so my hope is that, women being part of this new movement is going to help us change the narrative about this plant, particularly to one that addresses the medical aspect, that really brings the conversation around to how we can benefit and how we can heal ourselves and nurture our lives, rather than how can we take away and how can we punish a perception, a an act that maybe we have fear of.
And it's
surrounded.
A backwards approach, actually, because addiction is really, they find the leading cause of addiction being loneliness. So in an experiment that they've done, they've taken a rat, you know, they put him in a cage with water and then water with cocaine or heroin. And, of course, that rat is always going to go to the cocaine and water or the heroin and water. But they realized that the study itself was kind of faulty because they have a cage and a rat in there by himself with nothing else to do but go to that water, you know, have a choice of plain water or Coke water, whatever it is. He's going to pick the drugs every time. So they changed the experiment up and put the rat in another cage with other rats. And then the rat decided most times was to hang out with the other rats rather than use the drugs. So they'd start out using the drugs and then would get really bored with it and go hang out with the other rats. So in 9 times out of 10 times, the rat itself wouldn't go with addiction. You know, it would start having a little bit of a dependency on it, and then it would like, oh, go hang out with the other rats and feel better, and then it would slowly go off of the drug. So the whole theory behind that being that we're treating everything backwards to separate someone from society and put them in a solitary situation is actually contradictive. Nice long word.
Insert nice
to,
long word.
Yeah, here. Insert nice long word here to actually addressing the issue, which is loneliness is what is the causes the problems. So to solve a problem or to punish somebody by putting them in a cage is absolutely opposite of what we should do. We should nurture them and put them in groups.
It's backward. And you know, to extend it further, cannabis specifically is a healing plant. And you know, actually, you know, I'd like to say every drug is a medicine in some quantities and a poison in others. And some are, just have more, you know, poisonous tendencies. For example, tobacco.
Right.
You know, I know somebody that uses it who has constipation, and it actually helps with his constipation. He says only a couple of drags, and he has to put it out. You have to time it perfectly. But anyway, that's an aside. But cannabis is a very healing plant. You know, we have this endocannabinoid system.
Very much.
And, you know, it has been shown to, you know, help with so many different things, with pain, with inflammation, with, you know, irritable bowel syndrome, nausea, spasticity, et cetera, Alzheimer's, so many different things. You know, there's, and it's a substitute for much more harmful, much more poisonous type drugs. And a lot of people are finding that they're you know, more able to be healthy and use cannabis. And there's one study that I think is really important. The Journal of American Medical Association published recently. And the evidence is pretty clear. In states which have medical cannabis laws, they've seen a reduction of death from overdose of opiates from 20% to 35%, and it invariably correlates with when their medical cannabis laws were passed. So you know, that's an issue right now in Missouri, and you know, in across the country with heroin use spiking and overdose death spiking. This is a policy change in which we can help to heal people who are really suffering, and help them to find a path in which they can heal. So, you know, let's get this plant legal in Missouri.
Amen to that.
We have a caller, and caller, you are on there. What is your name, and what part of town are you calling from?
Hello? My name is Richard, and I'm from North Kansas City.
Hi, Richard. Thanks for calling.
Well, I have a question for everybody, for Amber. You know, considering that, you know, 25 states, I think it is, have, you know, compassionate use access, and instead of lobbying federal lawmakers to change the scheduling of cannabis, why isn't there a class action suit to sue, you know, whatever, you know, the FDA or the EPA or the DEA? Why isn't there a big class action suit to bring this, to make it also a presidential election issue, you know, to force the issue? I also think that if you get enough people involved, that you might even break the Guinness Book of World Records for a class action lawsuit.
it's a good idea, and I'm not sure if anyone is specifically trying to do something like that right now. It is definitely possible, but I can say that those who tried to change things through the courts have had some difficulty in accomplishing that. The tide is changing, but the most major thing that I would say sort of addressing that is there was a lawsuit pending for, 14 years or something. I think Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies primarily was suing to get access to better quality cannabis to do research, and they just denied them and denied them and denied them for the longest time, and finally granted then the ability to do some research about, I think, a year and a half ago or something. And so that's starting to move forward a little bit. But other court cases, Angel Raich tried to sue the federal government because they took her medicine when she was a California patient, and they lost. So it's one route. It hasn't been terribly successful so far, but, I think that every tool and toolbox needs to be used.
Yeah, I think if you think about the crowdsource funding and, social media, some savvy person could make this, a successful, a popular issue.
I agree. I think
that anybody isn't trying to do that.
A presidential candidate could do worse things than have a lawyer for a vice president that would sue the heck out of everybody, starting with our utility companies.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you can go that route, too.
Well, thanks for calling.
Well, I want to tell Jeff and the Show Me Cannabis folks, congratulations. I know where you're coming from. I, too, have done a stretch for my bad habits. And unfortunately, for Jeff, he got, got caught in that mandatory sentencing. I didn't happen to get caught in that, so I, almost the same exact charges. I only did 180 days. So I count myself as fortunate as compared to Jeff.
Indeed.
And I really am impressed with the Show Me Cannabis Advisory Board, and I support you guys 100%. And if I can figure out a way to volunteer, I am, I'm getting the emails and everything, but I'd like to help volunteer to get signatures, and I hope other people get involved and want to get involved in this and change, get some justice for the people of Missouri and some access for compassionate use. I just think it's way overdue.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Richard.
Thank you very much.
We have another call. Caller, you are on the air. What is your name and what part of town are you calling from?
Yeah, good morning. My name is Ron. I'm calling from downtown Kansas City, Missouri.
Hi.
I would like to very much help us focus on where we should be right now. We're living in a transformation period. The laws have changed when it comes to several quite significant things. And I agree with that caller. We need to organize around some type of class action suit. Your conversation earlier got into hemp and legal and scientific, all of that data, all that research is done. We pretty much have a clear picture. And now we have Colorado and several other places in the United States that have moved towards. I got caught up in the Rockefeller drug laws back in New York, back in the 80s and 70s, and it was a mess. It was draconian. And it was a reaction to really lots of kids running into Harlem buying the drugs. And then their rich kids, doctor's kids and stuff, was overdosing. And they came in with draconian laws that locked you up. If you have five, you have five to life. If you have 10, you have 10 to life. Life was on the back of every sentence. So I would like to congratulate your studio guests for staying strong, keeping his mind. I know what the prison does to you. Be strong, organize with the people, and let's do something in the toolbox should be appropriate for us to adjust to the changing laws. We now have changing laws. Americans smoke marijuana now. And we shouldn't be so surprised. And we need to organize around what American people want, not what the Congress, the House, they're all, if you look in inside government, most of them are millionaires. A few of them are billionaires. Dara Issa has personal wealth of $464 million. Can he relate to us? Can he relate to the people's problem? I think not. And we need to point our activities at getting rid of some of them millionaires, billionaires sitting up on what they get, $147,000 a year to run our government. And half the time they're on recess. And this last session was famously known as the Do Nothing Congress. And the people, yeah, they, if I'm wrong, correct me. Are they not known as the Do Nothing Congress?
Oh, I don't know.
And did, yeah, Do Nothing Congress. Well, I'll check the records.
Okay.
Out of the last Congresses that we've had, 103, 104, this is the most unproductive Congress that we've had when it comes to what are they elected to do? Pass legislation.
Well, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it. We got about 1 minute left. We got to wrap it up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got carried away. God bless you.
But thank you so much for calling
in.
Appreciate
it. Fight the good fight and be strong.
Thank you. Have a blessed day.
You too.
And you, I want to thank everybody who came into the studio today. Amber, thank you so much for joining us. And Jeff, it's so great to have be able to have you. And Chris, thank you so much for coming in. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come in, and it's so great to see you on over here, to see you.
It's good, I'm telling you. It's quite a change, and we can get a lot more people out. People just out there would stick together, register to vote, get the voting in, sign the petitions, and stick together. Look what happened in the 60s, you know, the hippies. Right. They stopped the war. Well, it's time to stop this war.
That's a true story.
Amen.
All right.
It's the 420 Drug War News. This is part two of our discussion with Ethan Nadelman, the executive director of the Drug Policy Alliance.
And I think if you look at the repeal of alcohol prohibition, what determines where people buy their marijuana, some of it is just simply about price. Some of it is about convenience. Many people are going to prefer simply to buy from a legal regulated store, even if it costs a little more, than to buy from the black market. And so I think what's going to persist, as it did with the repeal of alcohol prohibition, is a fairly dynamic illicit market in which people continue to buy from the people they used to buy, that they knew. That's going to fade away over time. I mean, over time, we're going to see the cost of marijuana in the legal market decline. Right, we're going to see fewer and fewer participants in the illicit market. So I think we're moving in the right direction, but it's a mistake to expect this this transition to happen instantaneously.
The Drug Policy Alliance has a conference now coming up in less than a month. They're near Washington, D.C. Please fill us in on that. Folks still have time to get on board, do they not?
Yeah, well, go to the website, reformconference.org. Registrations are still open. I have to say, it's looking like it's going to be the biggest one ever. Normally, we get about 1,000 people registered just 5 days before the event. In this case, we have over 1,000 people registered 5 weeks before the event. There's going to be a stellar array of speakers. There's going to be dozens of other sorts of meetings of various state-based groups and issue-based groups. I mean, the way I think, Dean, you've heard me describe the event before is imagine a hybrid of a graduate-level seminar on drug policy and a three-day revival meeting, by which I mean the intellectual content of this gathering is unparalleled, while at the same time the energy, the stimulation, the sense of being part of a growing movement is just palpable. And I can't tell you, this is a biennial event. Hundreds of people over the years have told me how their lives were transformed by the first time they came to these events, either by realizing the bigger movement of which they were a part, or through the connections they made, or the ways it shifted their own thinking on this issue. So I'd love for your listeners to find a way to get there.
Well, and I've got to underscore what you just said. My first Drug Policy Alliance there in New Jersey, I met Jack Cole. I became a speaker for law enforcement against prohibition, and I really put the pedal to the metal in becoming a drug reformer. Once again, folks, we've been speaking with Mr. Ethan Nadelman, the executive director, the Drug Policy Alliance, and go to their website now, drugpolicy.org.
Please take note, I will be attending and reporting from this major drug reform conference. Dean Becker, drugtruth.net.
We hope you enjoyed today's show and that we leave you with something to think about, something to talk to your neighbors about, and a reason to get involved. As always, the opinions expressed are those of the host and guest of Jaws of Justice Radio, not of KKFI, the Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated, its staff, or volunteers. You can find our calendar of events and a link to our show episodes and podcast on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page. If you have a show idea or want to help produce Jaws of Justice Radio, email us at jawsofjusticeradio@yahoo.com. And you can always listen to us live and find podcasts of our show on the KKFI website, that is kkfi.org. We thank our engineer, Beth Pike, for her work today. My name is Melvin Merritt, asking you to tune in for the rest of our 9 a.m. weekday lineup with Law and Disorder on Tuesday, Alternative Radio on Wednesday, Tell Somebody with Tom Claymer on Thursday, and Between the Lines at 9 a.m., followed by Bioneers at 9:30 a.m. on Fridays. Up next is Beautician Blues with Luscious Liam, and at noon, Arts Magazine with Michael Ho. Stick around for jazz and blues in the afternoon and Eco Radio KC at 6 p.m. Then round out your day with the spicy Latin sounds of Sabor Latino and Fiesta Musical.